Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the first episode of 2019. This is Films of Fury. Oh, I have to bring a little Rick Sanchez into the mix with this one. Oh, shit, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Sergeant Fury, and this is the first episode of 2019. Can you fuckers believe it? So we have to, Films of Fury, have to do a little explanation for what's been going on. You know, I don't lie to the audience. I don't believe in telling half truths and fucking blowing smoke up everyone's asses. So, at the end of last year and at the beginning of this year, I made a list of things that I wanted to achieve with Films of Fury and just in my life in general. And I decided that upgrading Films of Fury was going to be the number one, you know, not number one thing, but was going to be a high up on the list. And with upgrades, there's some painful parts to upgrading, but the good part is that new software, new editing, new audio equipment, pretty much it was a full restoration on what was a pretty good start to the podcast in 2018. You know, I had a lot of people, my co-hosts on the Necrocasticon and the Curtain Jerkers and Tim Zabriskie from the Tim Zabriskie Show, really helping me out with pointing me in the right direction in order to get the right equipment. Also, not to pull punches here on Films of Fury, a few months back, I got back into counseling, you know, for post-traumatic stress that was linked to my time in service, as well as some other stuff that has been going on over the last couple years in my life. And I decided that I would do the Necrocasticon, weekly. And, you know, I was given co-hosting gigs, but I wanted to come back with Films of Fury when I was ready and when the time was right. And holy fuck, has the latter half of February going into March really been that time? Because the format of the podcast is going to change completely. Now, I'm still going to be doing subject-based podcasts once a week. For example, the next podcast that you will get will be The Walking Dead Season 9.5 with the president of the IndyCard Mafia and CEO of IndyCard Media, Eric Emanon, as we discuss the second half of The Walking Dead and what's been going on with that. But also, we're going to be doing a weekly news show. That's right, because we at Films of Fury do love talking about movies, but we want to keep it up to date. We want to give you the most up-to-date info that we fucking can. And you keep hearing this "we." And that is because I have decided that with the revamping of Films of Fury, I love having people to talk to. I love having conversation. And a repeat guest has constantly been one of the people that has pushed me to get back on the horse and really, when's Films of Fury going to film? We've got ideas. So I have chosen a co-host that will be joining me on a weekly basis. And he and I will be bouncing the news in films and television off of each other, and comic books when there's a good story arc, just fucking pop culture in general, just because we're fucking nerds. Not to drag this out any longer, my co-host is the one, the only, Evan McLeod. Evan, welcome as full-time co-host of the Films of Fury podcast with Sergeant Fury. Welcome full-time, brother.
Awesome. I am very happy to be here full time with you, and you know, this year will really bring some good excitement for the podcast, for fans, for, you know, you and I. You know, we get along great. We're like, you know, I like to say, you know, we're pretty close, and we've become really close over the last year. You know, We've become better friends, and you know, I consider you like family now, you know. So, you know, I know you can pick up the phone and give me a call whenever you need, and you know, I'll be there for you, brother. You know, absolutely. So I'm glad we get to do this every week now.
Absolutely. And you know, the cool part is that we are going to drop news, not just news about what's coming out in TV and movies and comic books, but also some fucking huge news coming in 2019, because one of the things that both he and I and our friend, who is a co-host of Turnbuckle Talk Radio Podcast, Ish Jones, Cyclone Jones.
Cyclone Jones!
Cyclone Jones! Cyclone.
You know, you always got to keep it, we gotta always have the one, right?
Yeah, the Cyclone Jones! You know, he's our token. So the three of us will be representing our podcasts at the first ever PodCon in Niagara Falls, New York, August 3rd. I mean, this is the first WNY PodCon. More information to come. We have a table. We have been talking with the promoter of this event. He is excited. Matt is elated that we are joining him with this, because being a first of anything is huge. But being that this is an interactive podcast platform, being the fact that, you know, really we love to have conversations with other fans and whatnot, we had talked about doing a live show. Well, guess what? Films of Fury Live in Niagara Falls, New York on August 3rd, one of the most romantic places, and it was also the filming site of Superman 2, when Lois Lane finally put two and two together that Clark Kent was Superman. How the fuck is the world's best reporter still so shitty? I don't get it. Pulitzer Prize winning my fucking ass. But yes, so without further ado, we drop the big knowledge. Let's just hit it. What do we got in the news today? Evan, hit me with some good news. What do we got?
Game of Thrones trailer came out today, everybody.
Oh, fuck. Yes, it did. On 420.
And, oh, my gosh. And those dragons, just like, just everything. And there was so much in there, but nothing was given away.
Which is HBO's MO. With this show, they keep it tight to the chest. We know there's going to be a fuck ton of death. This is the last season. They're going out with a bang.
Now the question is, though, because there is books, from what I understand, they're veering somewhat away from the books a little bit in this season.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be the first show this year that veered off away from the books. I mean,
just because they're I mean, there's still so much in between from what the books have.
Yeah.
So, like, and this season's only, isn't it only six episodes, seven episodes?
I don't even think it's a full,
it's not 12.
No, it's not 12. I think it's maybe eight. Like, I think they, from the moment the White Walkers take down the wall and they just start walking, and that epic scene, that epic, like, 10-minute ending of the season finale, you know, after Jon Snow got his balls wet, you know, it's like, I know that this isn't going to end well for a lot of people. And actually, me and some coworkers have been talking lately. It's like, you know, who do we want to see sitting on the Iron Throne?
I think everybody dies.
Either everybody dies, or, you know, they melt it down. They don't need an Iron Throne, and they make it a democracy, which would be like a council. I shouldn't say a democracy. They make it a council of all of the leaders of these areas. And we've already seen in some scenes where, you know, characters are giving lines and whatnot. I wouldn't call them spoilers, but, you know, that doesn't, just because a character in a trailer says a line doesn't mean that shit doesn't get axed. We've seen it before.
Yeah, I know. Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, Batman versus Superman, fucking Justice League. You know, even Guardians of the Galaxy. I still want my Drax and Star-Lord hug from fucking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but that's beside the point. Yep. Hey, Drax has sensitive nipples. And, you know, I'm stoked about that. But the other thing, the other news seems to be coming from HBO as far as if you check the Watchmen Instagram on HBO or for the HBO series that's taking over the spot from Game of Thrones. Holy fuck, dude. They're not giving anything away, but they are enticing fans. And, you know, Jeremy Irons in a recent HBO trailer for this upcoming year, like, they showed him as what I believe is old Ozymandias. It's like, fuck, mm-hmm. take my money, dude. Just take my fucking money.
Now, here's my question. Did you see what is coming out tomorrow?
No, I did not. What do we have for tomorrow?
Doomsday Clock number 9.
Motherfucker! I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to the comic book store.
Wait. Ready? Ready? Here it goes.
Ready.
I'm going to read it really good. There's two different covers.
Okay, what's cover one?
Cover one looks to me to be a Yellow Lantern ring.
Oh, Sinestro! Take my money!
Floating through space.
Oh.
With body parts or like hearts or mind, like brains or something, blood hitting it.
Oh.
That's kind of what it looks like. Okay. I was driving while looking at that cover.
Mm-hmm.
The other cover, which makes me believe that's what that is. The other cover is Dr. Manhattan standing there. Well, just the costumes of the DC universe are floating away.
Okay,
floating
so, around. Well, I mean, to catch our audience up to snuff, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, spoilers!
Spoilers!
The end of issue 8 was Firestorm, quote-unquote, Firestorm, Super and Superman in Moscow as Batman rushes in the Batjet to tell Clark that the person that's standing in front of him is not Firestorm, just as Firestorm unleashes a big blue ball of light. So yep. He is...
Son of a bitch.
He being Dr. Manhattan is...
I'm not a Superman fan, but that's like...
Yeah, you're fucking with the ultimate nice guy. Like, he was there to try and help, and all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I just don't like the fact that he's nice. It's like rooting against John Cena. It's like, I don't like that he's nice to people. It's like...
It's John Cena, though. I mean, it's like, I like John Cena so much because so many people hate him.
Okay, fine.
I need 5 moves of doom, and that's all I need.
All right, fine. Better analogy. It's like hating Mr. Rogers. You can't fucking hate Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
It's like,
fuck. He's so nice.
It's like, you're a douche. So I've got a good one that just dropped today. Have you seen the teaser photo for Jared Leto announcing that the first week of filming for Morbius from Sony Pictures associated with...
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm going to hit Google just so I can see that video.
Yeah. It is a slate with the Morbius logo and him behind it. So it's not like a real great picture because Jared Leto doesn't like to let a lot... Jared Leto uses his social media to tease the characters that he's doing in such a good way. He did it with the Joker. Like, the gym picture of him in the Superman shirt where he got super jacked and everyone's like, is Joker walking around shirtless? And in fact, he walked around shirtless. Why not? It's a comic book movie. Fuck you. Also, you know, when he was getting ready, when he shaved his eyebrows, and then when he was getting ready to dye his hair, like, he teases things. So, Morbius, I'm not going to say I'm even on the fence about this movie. Because, you know, Sony made $800 million last year on Venom. And no one thought it was going to make a fucking dime. And it ended up...
I think Jared Leto is the perfect cast for Morbius, though.
How so?
All right, now I don't mind Jared Leto as Joker, okay? But Morbius just seems more him. Like, he has the look already of Morbius.
Like goth rocker.
Yeah. Okay. He's not super big. Morbius didn't really get big until he became, like, the vampire.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't a nerd by any means.
He was, if memory serves me correctly, wasn't he a scientist?
Yes, he was a scientist.
Okay, so Jared Leto being a CrossFit scientist type is a believable, a believable look for a character. I mean, granted, like, he's probably going to have long hair, which is like, how many scientists have long hair? They all have bald spots.
But remember, Morbius has long hair.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, I wouldn't want to see an update. I mean, that would be like trying to update Blade right now, which apparently Marvel Studios is in talks with Wesley Snipes to do just
people
that.
Rated R one.
Yeah, like, Marvel Studios, like, but this is the thing that Bob Iger, and you know, we're going to step away from that news to go into another bit of vampire news. So Wesley Snipes and Marvel Studios are in talks to bring an R-rated Blade movie to the MCU. Now, Bob Iger last year, when it was announced that, hey, we're buying 20th Century Fox, and everyone kind of shit their pants because it's like, oh, what's going to happen to Deadpool? Meh. And Bob Iger said, look, if we can make it work, we'll make it work. We're not afraid of a rated R movie. We just got to make sure the parents are ready. And then you got Wesley Snipes coming out being like, oh yeah, we're making another Blade movie. It's like, fuck me, Blade in a Spider-Man movie.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Bob Iger knew exactly the hand he was being dealt. There was never a doubt. I mean, people forget, Disney owned a rated R film company before.
Two of them. Miramax and Dimension.
Yeah. They were Disney affiliated. The only reason they sold them was because at that time, did you really want Michael Myers walking around Disney?
Yes!
Think about it for a minute.
To me,
Disney's Halloween special, do you really need Michael Myers or Pinhead walking around?
Yes, I do.
I don't think it becomes the most family-friendly place on Earth. I mean, that's more suited for Universal Studios.
Oh, that's so true.
But in their Halloween thing. But you look at Marvel rated R, you can still take Deadpool and let him walk around.
I mean, exactly. And, you know, this goes to show you Deadpool has crossed. Okay. In the 1980s, and we're going to make ourselves seem real old right now, ladies and gentlemen, to just follow us. In the 1980s.
I think I'm still young and buff. I mean, I've been hitting the gym not twice a day, bro.
Yeah, I've been doing 16-ounce curls as often as possible.
ready to run Spartans with my friend here.
Yo, you're fucking right. You goddamn right you're going to start running them. You're going to love it. So,
yes, my brother says he's in.
He better be. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'll roofie the dude and then wake him up with a smelling salt at the start line and be like, yeah, your shoes are already on, motherfucker. Sorry, you're running in a thong. Just deal with it.
Why do I have this face paint on? Where are we? Yeah. Don't worry. You're taken care of.
It's the Road Warrior. Shut the fuck up. So, but in the 1980s, we had Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger was the most... If you look at the character of Freddy Krueger... A child molesting child murderer was the face of the 80s. As far as films go, like, Freddy Krueger was everywhere. He was on daytime talk shows. He was toys. He was pajamas. He was blankets. He was 900 numbers. He was everywhere. He was Halloween costumes. And you look at the boiled essence of the character of being a child rapist, child murderer, that's like dressing your kid up like Ted Bundy. Okay? You know, it's like, oh, my son's going as John Wayne Gacy this year for Halloween. Zippity-doo.
My son is my daughter is going to be Lorena Bobbitt today, folks.
Oh, Jesus. Don't mind the sausage. But
don't mind the sausage. I found it! It's over here!
Jesus, I would have hated to have been that detective. But then you look at today, you know, 30 years later, we have Deadpool, who, if you look at the boiled essence of the character, is a fucking mass murderer by any stretch of the imagination. He's a murderer.
But every kid loves him.
Every kid loved Freddy Krueger, too.
Yep. There's actually... Oh, my God. Was I talking to you about it? Oh, no. I don't think I was talking to you about it. I was talking to my friends at work. Casey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Murderer.
Oh, fucking violent murderer.
Such a murderer, but the Ninja Turtles look the other way.
Nope. Well, I mean... Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. Sorry, Oops. Shredder. I just crushed you in a garbage truck.
The
sorry.
Best fucking line of all time. It wasn't even an oops. It was, I have to go up, left, right, down. Oops.
Yep. Oops.
Fucking psycho. So going from one psycho to another psycho, the Dark Phoenix trailer dropped this week. And the international trailer shows more of a young Jean Grey's origin.
Mm-hmm. I still...
Are you on the fence, or did this new trailer give you enough to where you want to see the path that this character's on?
Here's my thing, is Fox has tried so hard to give you the X-Men movie you want. First Class knocked it out of the park. I think out of every X-Men movie, First Class is probably by far... one of my top favorite X-Men movies. Okay.
Okay.
And I like everybody else. I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but it's the first X-Men movie not to give you a Wolverine, to give you a cameo of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but it was a good movie. Then you go into what everybody's always wanted, Days of Future Past.
Absolutely.
It wasn't what I wanted.
Okay, so what did you want?
I wanted real Sentinels. I didn't want this Sentinel that could mutate, because that's not the Sentinel. It's a big giant robot like a Terminator. And it's probably because for those that don't know, we actually did have some technical issues. We did record during Royal Rumble of this year.
Yes, yes. That was the...
We had a long talk about the Terminator and how great the Terminator movies are. And you know I'm a huge Terminator fan.
Absolutely.
So, for me, I want big giant robots just like Transformers, like Terminator blowing shit up. I want a big giant robot. I want Hugh Jackman looking up as he cannonballs Colossus into a robot, just getting blown away by a freaking hand and basically a phaser hand just blowing down and watching the skin melt off Hugh Jackman. That's the scene I wanted. That is not the scene I got. I got none of that. I didn't get Kitty Pryde being sent back, and I understand why they sent back. Obviously, they sent back Hugh Jackman for a reason. Biggest blockbuster character of the whole X-Men franchise.
Guinness World Record holder.
That's the first character first time they tied both universes, both series of movies together.
And they fixed the continuity issues that we've had since Brent Ratner's fucking dumpster abortion, The Last Stand.
But my problem is, The Last Stand had a real Sentinel head in it.
All right. Well,
remember.
Pause. So did the end of Apocalypse, because if you remember the end of X-Men Apocalypse, they showed the Danger Room when Mystique and Beast were giving their speech, and then they say, you're X-Men, and then they start the training, and Trask Sentinels walk from behind the giant doors so that they can get ready to train. So they may not have been Sentinels from Days of Future Past, the teaser that they had in the Last Stand, the beginning in the Danger Room.
But my issue with Days of Future Past really lies in that future. Like, there was no, not even in the comic books that they and again, I gotta look at from rose colored glasses, because the First Class is kind of like, it's almost like, to compare it like New 52 in DC.
It's
its own universe because Mystique is never really part of the X-Men.
No.
But she's a very popular character, so they kept her with the X-Men all the way through this movie too, and she's basically become the not Killer Frost. The Frost Queen. You know what I'm talking
Emma
about?
Emma Frost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who she's becoming in these movies. Like, she's becoming that not Scott Summers' love interest, because we know that Jean is Scott's love interest, and still, even in this Dark Phoenix trailer, she's still his love interest. My issue is, now here comes the continuity issue. You already tried to bring continuity to the original three by interjecting them into this series. But now the continuity is, you're basically rewriting The Last Stand. The Last Stand doesn't, like, Jean does not get her powers later in life. She gets them earlier in life in the Dark Phoenix. So what would that be? Dark Phoenix Returns? You get what I'm saying?
According to Entertainment Weekly, when they did the first story of the Dark Phoenix movie, they said that the X-Men, after what happens in Apocalypse, kind of become like international heroes, which they kind of alluded to in Logan, and I'll get to that in a second.
Yep.
And Charles Xavier kind of becomes like the rock star leader of the group. Like, he starts sending them on impossible missions that the world asks them to do. And one of them is sending the X-Men up to help a space shuttle that's in danger. And that's right. The cosmic radiation that blasts them, that triggers this thing within that. You can either say the cosmic rays wake up the Phoenix, or it's a dual personality that's brought out by the power. Who, like, at this point, we're just speculating.
I don't think they ever really, even in the comics, they kind of flow back and forth, because initially it's like a cosmic being that takes over her body.
Exactly.
But then later in comics, they say it's always been a part of her since she was a child.
Well, in the Ultimate X-Men, in the Ultimate Universe, I think she's referred to as Phoenix pretty much from the start. I think they did that whole, like, she's the Phoenix all the time. And yeah, it's kind of like a secondary personality within her that she just uses whenever she has to fuck shit up, which is completely fine. Except, you know, we saw that the Phoenix showed up in Apocalypse, because that's clearly what we saw. It's like, is the cosmic radiation just going to wake this all up? I don't necessarily need to see little girl Jean losing her shit and, like, making her parents' car crash. I don't fucking want to see that, because we've seen it.
But we also know that it's going to go from little girl Jean from, and they've also all progressed in age, too.
Yeah.
In this movie, but like, what I really would like is, I would like the Phoenix costume.
Hopefully,
you've given me every and that's the one thing I like about First Class. You're giving me X-Men costumes.
It from some of the set photos that were taken, it looks like they've got the blue and yellow X-Men suits. We'll see if Jean gets one. Speaking of characters that everyone loves, and we've had some good ones, we've had some great ones, and now we're going to have some last ones, because the release date for Rambo Last Blood has been announced. We will be seeing the last installment of the Rambo character this September. I believe it's September 20th, if I'm not mistaken. Dude, the story for this one, although it seems a little, they've always tried to be topical with the Rambo movies. I can say that. Even back to First Blood with the returning Vietnam War vet. Yeah. And then in the second one, the mission to locate POWs in Vietnam. The third one, we were helping the Taliban, strangely enough. Look how that helped us. In the fourth one, they spotlighted the civil war in Burma. And then with this one, it's sex trafficking in the southwest region of the United States. And Rambo gets caught up in this, and all fucking hell breaks loose. You can't just let a man be. I mean, we've said goodbye to Rocky last year. Now we're saying goodbye to Rambo this year. Kind of surreal.
I think it finally, I mean, so here's the thing. I enjoyed the last Rambo movie. Okay. Rambo.
Yes.
My dad, who is an avid Sylvester Stallone fan, enjoyed the last Rambo movie. I think if you overdo this one, it could blow up in everybody's face. Because he's going to be like in a Western.
Because at the end of Rambo, he goes back to the family ranch in Arizona. And I remember being in the theaters and seeing him walk down the long driveway, the dirt road to get to the Rambo ranch. And there's all those fucking mountains behind it. And I just stared at it and I'm like, please tell me he ends up killing people there. Like, I know that sounds really fucked up, but that's the first thought, is that they're not going to let Rambo be home. Rambo needs to, and I hate to say this the way I'm going to say it, Rambo needs to die. He died in the book. He was supposed to die in the first movie, but they changed the ending because, you know, the possibility of sequels. Stallone was a popular actor.
Yeah.
They're calling it Last Blood. I mean, they might be letting you know, like, hey, this is the end.
Yep.
Which, that's what, I'm cool with.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to say goodbye. As the character, I think it's time for the character to say goodbye. And, you know, move on.
Not moving on, though. That was the worst segue into the end of this show, because you and I have kind of been waiting to talk about this man on the podcast for a while, and holy fuck, did Kevin Smith come out of the fucking gates hot this week with news. First off, the movie. Secondly, the show. The movie being Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, where,
oh god,
the first week of filming has ended, and all on Kevin Smith's Twitter, he has been posting about the progress the film is making. We have the return of Brody. We have, you know, Brody Bruce. We have the return of fucking Dante Hicks. We have a very slender heart attack Silent Bob. We have Jay looking fucking phenomenal. You know what I mean?
And off drugs.
Off drugs. Phenomenal. Fucking doing great. He's been doing this for a week. They're down in New Orleans. They're filming like fucking fiends for the next several months. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking about it on Fat Man Beyond this past week.
Just in case, I'm also part of Weight Watchers, and I've just started following Kevin Smith on Weight Watchers as well.
Well, there you go. Like, fucking ladies and gentlemen, we got a fellow Weight Watchers person with Kevin Smith. Evan McLeod just openly admitted Weight Watchers. So if you're worried about it, fuck you. So to me, I'm so happy to have a Jay and Silent Bob movie again.
Like, oh, me too.
Because Kevin Smith, okay, I don't hate Jersey Girl. Anyone who wants to send me hate mail, filmsoffurypodcast@gmail.com. Fuck you. That's going to be my response to you. Fuck you. I didn't mind Jersey Girl. I thought it was a good movie. Okay? I did not entirely mind Cop Out. Although I think the casting may have been wrong with Sean William Scott and Tracy Morgan. I think they should have flipped those two actors. I think it would have been better. Whatever. Tusk, I loved
I loved Tusk. Like, it made me feel dirty after watching it, which reminded me of how I felt after I watched The Last House on the Left the first time. And to go back to the View Askewniverse one more time with this Jane Silent Bob reboot, and to bring back some of these characters that we love, like, who didn't want to be Brody Bruce, the comic book nerd who gets the hot chick at the end and talks to Stan Lee? You know, it's like, now we've got that, and Kevin Smith is, and it's being brought to you by Saban Films. So the Power Rangers people are bringing you this film.
Yep. I think the really cool thing, though, is the fact that he's connecting Clerks with this movie.
Absolutely.
That's showing that they are all in the same universe.
You know, and one of the things that I love is before there was a Marvel Cinematic Universe, there was a View Askewniverse, and the Jersey Trilogy that was 5 movies long. 6 movies if you include Clerks 2. And it's
Clerks
nice.
2, Chasing Amy,
yep,
Clerks,
Dogma, fucking
Dogma,
all of
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yo, he went all out and was like, fuck you, these two dudes have been everywhere. They even know Jesus. And I mean, yep, there you go. And speaking of Marvel, I'm going to let you have the floor with Kevin Smith's second project, because this is something you've been like, oh, I can't believe they're doing it.
I can't wait for this. This is, and it's because, as a child, I love this movie. As a child, a friend, my brother's best friend, is terrified of this character, terrified of the movie.
So you're into bestiality. Because a woman fucks a duck in this movie. Like, I hope you know. Listen, That just sounds horrible, me saying it, but a woman, not just a woman, Leah Thompson, one of the hottest women in the 80s, actually still hot, fucked a duck.
Listen, let's not go there, but I will say, it terrifies my brother's best friend, our friend Big White, so bad that our families had t-shirts made on his birthday and gave him the movie with this character on him.
That's fucking fantastic.
This character, I hope, is being played by Seth Green still, and voiced by Seth Green, because this is the only thing they have not said who is playing Howard the Duck.
Hulu, after Netflix has gotten rid of, officially,
we knew this day was coming.
Yo, was painful because Punisher was really fucking good. Punisher season 2 was really fucking good.
Everyone knew this day was coming. Everyone kept asking the questions too. Well, what's going to happen with the Netflix original? Oh, well, they're Netflix originals. They created, and I kept saying to everyone, they created something that Marvel is licensing them.
Yes.
So the contract, if there was never a contract, like, written for how many seasons they were allowed to do, and if they were only for every character allowed to write, there has been nothing said if they were only allowed to do 2 seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Because to me, as Netflix, but Netflix, from what I understand, wants to evolve and create their own universe, which I have not watched that superhero show on Netflix yet.
The Umbrella, it's actually based on a comic book.
Yes, yeah, but it's so from what I've been told, that it's pretty good show.
I'm going to have to check it out. But
yeah.
Hulu jumped on the Marvel bandwagon and ordered 4 shows.
Listen,
one of them...
They didn't jump on anything. Disney, who owns now 60% of Hulu, was like, we're just going to put it on Hulu because that's where we're going to put all our R-rated edgy stuff is going to be on.
Well, regardless,
let's be honest here.
A duck is going to stick his dick in someone because Kevin Smith, he teased it before, on his podcast, like, I'm working on something, but I don't want to talk about it. It's like the bomb dropped. Kevin Smith is head writer on Marvel's and Hulu's Howard the Duck.
I want to see big, bad, buff Howard the Duck and, like, the characters from. I mean, they could turn it in 180 and it could be a big giant puppet. But I think it's going to be a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting the Howard the Duck that looks like the comic book Howard the Duck out of the Marvel movies, which was very accurate to what Howard the Duck looks like in the comics.
Yep.
Everyone that remembers Howard the Duck movie from the 80s, he's a fat, short-looking thing, but in the comics, he's really not.
Well,
he's
they also really had to have a little person be in the suit.
Yeah. Yeah, which is amazing, watching a little person run around in the suit.
Oh, you're so fucking terrible. I hate you. I hate you.
I mean, think about it. But you know what we have not talked about? The one thing I've been waiting to let you bring it up, because I brought up Game of Thrones when we were chatting earlier today, and you brought up something else. Another trailer that dropped yesterday that I just watched, and honestly, I felt laughing.
Oh, the Shazam trailer.
Yes.
All right. So the other trailer that dropped this week that made a big splash and honestly sold me on the movie was the Shazam trailer. The Shazam trailer made me laugh. And I've said this since the beginning, since I saw the very first comic of last year.
I was sold on the first trailer.
This is big. Not like, this is going to be a big movie. No, this is literally big. This is Tom Hanks's big with superheroes. Yeah. Because the moment I saw that, I'm like,
second person to say that.
It's like, I would like to purchase some of your finest alcoholic beverages. And she just points and he goes,
My friend PJ literally wrote, big meat Superman, feel for sure. Shazam. Yeah,
and the best part was he turns to the side, still looking at her, walks forward, and there's his foster brother, who's handicapped, just standing behind him like, holy shit, that worked! Fucking, the trailer has me. The only thing is before we end the podcast, merchandising can sometimes kill a movie. I went to Hot Topic. And I looked at the Funko Pop wall, and the Shazam kids from the New 52, you know how they all, there's a bunch of them?
Yep.
Well, there's a bunch of those Funko Pops for each one of them.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I told you. So they already released, you know how sometimes when movies come out, there's the preview figures that come out?
Yeah.
So there was already a release of the preview figures for Shazam when I picked up said Shazam figure that looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Looks, I flip over the card, and like, I'm not expecting anything.
And that's the,
I'm honestly kind of curious if they only make, now here's my thing. There has been no Shazam in any of the trailers. There is no Shazam dog in any of the trailers. Are they only making this stuff for merchandising purposes? From what I've read casting-wise, there are people cast as those characters.
And that's the one thing that gets me is it's like...
It's not hidden... They're cast. Those characters are cast. So and not, it's just, not even.
Yeah.
You could pull up IMDb. You know those people are in this movie. You know those characters are going to be in this movie at some point.
And well, I mean, we also know. I mean, not to let the cat out of the bag. We already knew this 2.5 years ago that The Rock is Black Adam.
Yes.
So if a Black Adam figure that looks like The Rock shows up, I'm just going to be like, all right, motherfucker, I knew this was coming.
Well. I want The Rock to be that. I don't want The Rock. I don't want them to make a Rock figure. I don't want any Black Adam figure because it's supposed to be its own movie. Black Adam is supposed to get his own movie with The Rock. That's what it's supposed to be. Black Adam is its own movie.
It is, but wouldn't it be fucking cool to see?
Oh, it'd be great to see the after credits scene. All of a sudden, you see, like, the gold boots, you know, walking across, like, either in space or across, like, this dark cavern thing. The black and gold boots and whatnot walking, and it pans up, and you see the chest. And you don't even get the full view of The Rock. You just get that, maybe, like, up to like the chin, where you're like, it gets you that chest piece of Black Adam, and then all of a sudden it gets to like his mouth, and he takes off. Like, give me that. Like, and that makes me go, oh shit, yes.
And on like, that, and on that note, we can't end this podcast any better than talking about The Rock.
Yeah, like, The Rock is amazing.
The Rock is gonna make, and I mean, Henry Cavill has even said it himself. Like, you're gonna see Black Adam versus Superman.
And my God, I know I'm gonna rewind. I know we want to end with The Rock here, but the fact that Aquaman 2 is already announced.
Yep.
That they're gonna start filming soon. They just have to get a director for it because the director that just directed the last one may have what's his name? I forget.
James Wan.
Yes, James Wan may have scheduling conflicts.
I think that they'll if they were smart, they would wait so that they could keep James Wan at the helm.
And he also said he wants to, it has to be a very good story. That's the other thing. It needs to be a good story. But what more do you need from a Black Manta, a serious Black Manta versus Aquaman? Like, full-on knockdown, drag-out movie. That's what I want. I want freaking blasters coming out of Black Manta's eyes. I want to see them beat the ever-loving piss out of each other. But that's, like,
yeah.
I foresee, like, I am looking forward to seeing who they cast as Bruce Wayne to take over the helm for my favorite Batman and Bruce Wayne combo ever. I got to watch the episode of him explaining why he left DC and Ben Affleck. People can shit all over Ben Affleck. But if you like Christian Bale as Batman, I think you're kind of stupid because Batman was never lean. They never talk like this. Rachel, where are they?
Sorry. All right. I thought we were good with ending with The Rock, but instead you did the bat metal voice, so we're ending this episode.
Where are they?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Sergeant Fury. As always, from this point forward, my co-host Christian Bale, Evan McLeod. This has been, I can't even talk. This has been another phenomenal episode of Films of Fury, the first one of 2019. I hope you enjoyed this. As always, like, share, follow, retweet, have fun. You can find this wherever you get your fine-ass podcasts. Evan, do you have something that you'd like to say to the people?
Thank you guys for listening tonight. I'm glad I could end it on the Batman voice for you. And don't you worry, we won't talk about Christian Bale and his terrible voice as Batman, but we will never, ever, ever, ever talk about George Clooney as Batman. Ever. If I see him, I want my $7 back. Actually, $5.25. Sorry, George. You're a good guy. Terrible, terrible Batman.
Films of Fury out.